They say the eyes are the window to our soul, and this afternoon we're looking straight on into them. Most of us rely on our eyesight to get around, earn a living every day. You know, it'd be tough without them. So how often do you think about your eyes and the health of them? Do you ever go get them checked out? Maybe you wear glasses and you actually do it pretty frequently. If you've got a question about your eyes, I want you to give me a call now because we have the opportunity for you to chat and spend some time with an ophthalmologist. And that ophthalmologist today is Professor David Mackie, who joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Dustin.
And eyes, has it been something that you've always been interested in?
I've been interested in eyes since I was a medical student, so that's quite a few years now.
And what was it about the eyes that you decided that was the area you wanted to focus on?
I think the biggest thing has been the revolution in technologies and treatments for treating eye diseases over the last 40 years or so, and that many diseases that people used to go blind from, we now have effective treatments for, and the rate of blindness in the world has dropped significantly in the last 50 years.
What has it been in technology that has so rapidly changed and allowed so many things to be taken off the cards that may have sent people blind in the past?
Well, I think the biggest is cataract surgery and the development of the intraocular lens. So people used to have their cataracts done after their vision had deteriorated quite significantly, whereas the intraocular lens allows us to do an operation on the eye and give people almost perfect vision after they've had the surgery. And this is, in fact, one of the most common operations done not only in Australia but around the world. The leading cause of blindness in Australia at the moment still is a disorder called age-related macular degeneration. And we used to really see people developing this and say we don't have any treatments. But some very clever work that was done took decades to develop to clinic, but this allows us to inject antibodies that block the blood vessel growth factors that lead to the wet form of age-related macular degeneration. And in fact, those drugs for AMD are one of the biggest health budget costs in Australia. However, this is keeping a lot of people out of nursing homes and acute care because they've still got good vision.
And our eyes pretty much something that you can check pretty easily. You know, it's something that I think a lot of us put off, one, going to the doctor or going to your optometrist or your ophthalmologist. Is it something you can just come in and it's pretty quick and painless?
Well, it depends why you're going in to have a check. We've got a lot of technology that allows us to look in the eyes. The biggest delay whenever anyone gets an eye check is if we need to dilate the pupils. And that's because the medication that we put into the eyes, and that takes usually 20 minutes or so to work, and people will need to wait for that to happen. But we can now measure the back of the eye, taking photographs of the back of the eye that don't require dilating drops, although for a comprehensive examination, we usually would do this.
If you've got a question for our ophthalmologist, Professor David Mackie, get it on the text line now, 0437 922 720. Some are already coming through on there. We're going to get to those in a moment. Or if you want to give us a call, 1-300-222-720 are the numbers. Before we get into those questions, ophthalmologist versus optometrist, the differences.
Yep. So an optometrist is someone who's trained specifically in an allied health specialty, and they are able to diagnose most of the eye diseases as well as being able to measure and treat with glasses. They can prescribe some medications. An ophthalmologist is someone who has a medical degree and then will do training as a specialist, and they'll also learn how to do surgery as well as medical diagnosis. For all diseases, we have people who can examine eyes and pick them up. Your GP can do that, or an orthoptist can examine various parameters of the eye. But usually most people will see an optometrist as their first line eye professional.
Great. Good to know. So now when people ask me, I will have an answer to them. Thank you for that one. Can we get into some of the text messages? Because I have quite a lot here in front of me, David, that I'm hoping Sure. you may be able to help us with. We'll start off with Sharon in Duncraig. Says, I have recently had multiple episodes of visual migraines diagnosed by a local optometrist. They last 20 to 30 minutes. About 20 to 30 minutes. Should I be concerned and get checked up by an ophthalmologist or a neurologist? That is the question from Sharon in Duncraig.
Right. Well, I think if any episode of blurring of vision occurs, people should get their eyes checked. These can be due to many different conditions, some of them needing fairly urgent treatment. So the fact that Sharon has seen an optometrist, we've probably ruled out most of the really important ones. But if this was a persistent problem, then it would be worthwhile starting with your GP, to look at what medications or other activities could be done to help decrease the chances of migraines. Now, migraine is usually associated with an aura before the headache, which is what most people think of with migraines, starts. And this usually starts with a central patch of blurring of vision, and this gradually expands over about half an hour or so. And what you'd notice if you look very carefully, if you're having one, is that this blurring of vision is happening in both eyes, but it'll be either on the right side or the left side of the field. And that's because the actual area where the migraine is starting is in the brain. And that's why sometimes you'd need to see a neurologist to look at any other abnormalities that may be going on there. However, if someone has done a check, made sure there's no major permanent problems between the episodes, usually it's okay to observe them. But if you have any doubt, then you could get your GP to refer you.
Sharon, I hope that one helps you out. I got this one as well from Jenny in Busselton. I have a thing called pterygium on my left eye. It's growing fairly rapidly, gets very red, but it isn't near my pupil yet. I've been told by optometrists that I will ultimately need surgery, but not till it gets much worse and reaches my pupil. Why do I have to wait? And other than eye drops, what can I do to get it to go away, if anything?
Okay, so pterygium is from a Greek word for a wing, and it's because it's a little triangular fleshy mass that's growing onto the eyes. We see these commonly in people who are surfers, previously in cricketers before they started wearing sunglasses. And that is actually the main risk factor, is sun exposure. We've been doing a lot of research looking at pterygium in Australia, and the good news for the whole of Australia is the rate of pterygium has been dropping over the last 25 years, probably relating to the slip, slap, slop, seek, slide, where slide is sliding on some glasses. However, our data in Western Australia showed we were about the same as we've been for 25 years. So various studies we've done in Busselton and with the RAIN study shows that it's between 5 and 10% of the Western Australian adult population actually have pterygium. So the best thing is prevention and avoiding sun exposure. If it's a bit uncomfortable, you can put eye drops in to lubricate it. But if it's getting bigger, then it can be operated on to remove this. Now, some people will want it to be removed as a cosmetic issue. Other people, if it's getting onto the front of the eye, that can actually distort the vision. And if it was to become quite advanced, which occasionally we would see in a developing country, it can impair the vision by going right across the front. So I think if you want to have something done, then it would be possible to do. And quite a few eye doctors around the state will be able to do that surgery. And in fact, a pterygium removal is probably the second most common eye operation that's done after cataract surgery.
Good to know, Jenny in Busselton. So you may be able to get that done. You might not have to wait. Go and, I guess, speak to your ophthalmologist. Thank you for that one. Greg in Duncraig, my question is, I see a rainbow halo around lights at night. Why would that be?
Okay, that could be several things. And usually I'd recommend someone gets checked by an optometrist or an ophthalmologist if you're having that. There are a few things that can do that, but it suggests that something's optically not correct in the eye. So the most common thing would be a cataract, and that might be something that's dropping the visual acuity, and having an operation could help remove that. Sometimes people who have had cataract surgery, the intraocular lens that we put inside the eye can give some reflections at night when your pupils dilated around the edge. The other thing that may occur, but this is usually associated with pain, is if you have an episode of acute angle closure glaucoma, the pressure in the eye can go up, and that can cause fluid buildup in the cornea, which distorts the light rays. So I think it would be worthwhile getting a check if you are seeing halos around things at night.
Professor David Mackey, ophthalmologist, has joined us here on ABC Afternoons. It's just gone 2:24 this afternoon. We're answering all your questions about your eyes, so get them in. If you've got anything that you should have asked your ophthalmologist last time you were in with them, 0437 922 720. This one from Libby in Beachborough. Hello, Dustin and Doctor. When getting my eyes tested recently, the lady said to me, when you get cataracts, is it a foregone conclusion that everyone gets cataracts at some point in their life? Thank you, Libby in Beachborough.
I think if we look at the longevity of people, the more people who are living into their 90s, the majority of people who get to that age will probably have cataract surgery. But again, it's a bit like saying, if you drive your car for long enough, will you need to change the windscreen? Mm-hmm. Some people have it shatter and need to have it replaced. Other people can have a few chips in it. And although there may be a mild cataract there, they're managing okay and don't need to have surgery. So as a general answer, in a country like Australia, the majority of people who get to a long age, such as 90, will probably have had cataract surgery.
Libby, hopefully that one, it gives you that information that you needed there. This one from Angela says, should I be concerned about a blurry out of focus part in my vision of my left eye? I have trouble with floaters in my vision, but usually I just look past them. But this makes it hard to see the TV, and it is becoming more and more noticeable. It seems to move as I blink and open my eye. I've noticed it for about 3 weeks. Initially thought it was just my eyesight getting worse. I have an appointment to get my eyes tested tomorrow. Is this a good enough course of action? Look forward to hearing your thoughts. That's from Angie.
Okay, Angie. I think if you're getting a check tomorrow, I'd definitely go ahead with that. The most common cause of floaters, the jelly in the centre of the eye, known as the vitreous, as we get older, it's a bit like if you left a jelly in the fridge that you'd made and forgot about it. It will usually harden up on one side and become a bit liquefied on the other. And that's what happens inside our eye. And this jelly can lift off the back part of the eye and move forward. And you're just seeing the edges of this floater. It may have some blood cells that are dragged in there. Although the reason we recommend getting a check is sometimes this can pull off a little bit of the retina, causing a hole. And that can lead to a retinal detachment, which is a bit like the wallpaper falling off the wall. If you've got a bit of a tear and it's hanging down, that may continue leading to it coming off completely. So if anyone notices floaters, the most important other signs to be concerned about are if you are noticing flashes of light, as if there's lightning happening in the distance, and a shadow coming across like a curtain. If you're having any of those, you need to be seen promptly if you're getting all of those symptoms. But if you're just having floaters, having a check's the most important thing. But often we say, look, we've checked you for everything that needs to be treated and it's okay. And what will happen is with time, you'll get a bit more used to having the floaters. I have them myself and I know definitely how Andrew feels. I just have to flick my eye to the side and get that little blur out of the middle of the screen when I'm reading the computer.
What exactly is a floater? I haven't experienced that before, I don't think.
It's a bit like having, say, an insect in the middle of your field flying in front of you, and it's just moving around a bit. And as you move your eye back and forward, it tends to move, but a bit behind the movement of the eye. So it sort of has a bit of a drift back and forward. It's unfortunately something that happens to most of us as we get into our 50s and 60s.
Oh, how interesting. Angela, thank you for that question there. We've just got a couple of minutes before I have to let you go. Could you explain for me, for Ruth and Karen up, cobblestone degeneration?
So this is the description, because it looks like a cobblestone that you can have in the retina. And so this is something that we observe. It's usually not a major problem, but you'd want someone to document it. You might have a photograph taken to show what it looks like, and usually it doesn't cause any major problems.
Beautiful. Professor David Mackey, appreciate your time this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dustin.